Amen. If you have a copy of God's Word, let me remind you that you're blessed and ask you to turn to Nehemiah chapter 6. I remind you, since Nehemiah is sort of over on the left side of the Bible, toward the first part of the Old Testament, we might think that it's an early book. It's a very late book. God's working His redemption plan. His people have been in exile, are in exile, and if you think about in the fullness of time, Jesus coming, God is preparing the way, and we're a ways off in Nehemiah before Jesus is coming. But listen to this, God's name is being reproached in Jerusalem because God's people are scattered and the wall is torn down. And so God has decided that He is going to have the wall built back, as we'll read about today. And you wouldn't be surprised to know that when God decides to do a work, the enemy takes exception to that. We saw in Nehemiah 4, there's this beautiful tapestry that you see of, in terms of the work of the enemy to harm and hinder God's work. Nehemiah 4, you see, remember, is the threat is from God's enemies outside. All those enemies, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, Arabs closing in. So you've got God's people working with guards everywhere with swords ready to fight till the death. You've got the trumpeter ready to get to the place of conflict, and that conflict is averted. They're able to stand firm and withstand the threat from the outside. Then you get to Nehemiah. So that was Nehemiah 4. Nehemiah 5, listen to this. The enemy, he is so very persistent. And after he had worked and allowed or encouraged God's enemies to attack God's people from the outside, and that failed, then the conflict comes from within the people of God. We would say in our day, like conflict within the church. Guess what? That was unsuccessful. Well, this morning you're going to see the conflict, and I think even as I've pondered this over recent days, it's probably a more frequent conflict. If I had to tell you about the big idea, the central idea of the sermon, the conflict, let's do a little bit of Bible interpretation, hermeneutics, before we read the chapter. Look at Nehemiah 6, verse 9. If you're an underliner, I am. But look at this, Nehemiah 6, 9. For all of them were trying to frighten us. Drop down to verse 13. We'll explain this as we go. We're going to dig it. He was hired for this reason, that I might become frightened and act accordingly in sin. Drop down to verse 14. Remember, O my God, Tobiah, Sanballat, according to these works of theirs, and also Noadiah the prophetess, and the rest of the prophets who were trying to frighten me. Drop down to verse 19. Then Tobiah sent letters to frighten me. You see a repeated word there. I did read it for emphasis. If you didn't get that, I'm happy to do it again. But this temptation that we would be frightened, that fear and anxiety would, literally, if you dig into that word, the meaning is that fear and anxiety, where does it work? Now, by the way, I can walk up to you today, and if I am full to the brim of fear and anxiety, you can't necessarily look at me and see that, can you? It is a problem where? Within. That they might frighten me. But listen to this. That word means, and what it can do for us as it relates to God's work, to be paralyzed. Can I tell you, I have been places where I have been paralyzed by fear and anxiety. Have any of you? By the way, if you say that sounds totally foreign to me, let me just say this. We rejoice with you and pray for the rest of us. Right? And by the way, it might be because you're not in the game enough. You get to pressing in on the Lord's work, and there'll be some resistance. And part of the resistance in Nehemiah's life, listen, the enemy, chapter 4, tries to take them out with God's enemies. Unsuccessful. Chapter 5, we'll just divide them within. They'll just fight each other. Guess what? They said, now he's going, hey, you know what? I'll get inside of Nehemiah. I'll get inside of Nehemiah, and I can stop God's work if I can paralyze God's worker with fear and fright on the inside. Boy, God knows us well, doesn't he? It's just beautiful, beautiful chapter, as you'll see. So Nehemiah 6, the word of the Lord. If you're able, would you stand while I read our text for this morning? The sermon title, which I hope and trust and have labored that is faithful to the text, is How to Press On for Christ While Battling Anxiety and Fear. How to Press On for Christ While Battling Anxiety and Fear. The word of the Lord from Nehemiah 6. Now, when it was reported to Sanballat, Tobiah, to Geshem, the Arab, and to the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and that no breach remained in it, although at that time I had not set up the doors in the gates, then Sanballat and Geshem sent a message to me saying, "Come, let us meet together at Chephirim in the plain of Ono." But they were planning to harm me. So I sent messengers to them saying, "I am doing a great work and cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you?" They sent messages to me four times in this manner, and I answered them in the same way. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me in the same manner a fifth time with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, "It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says that you and the Jews are planning to rebel. Therefore, you are rebuilding the wall, and you are to be their king according to these reports. You've also appointed prophets to proclaim in Jerusalem concerning you, 'A king is in Judah.' And now it will be reported to the king according to these reports. So come now, let us take counsel together." Then I sent a message to him saying, "Such things as you are saying have not been done, but you are inventing them in your own mind. For all of them were trying to frighten us, thinking they will become discouraged with the work and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands." When I entered the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, son of Mehetabel, who was confined at home, he said, "Let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple. Let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you, and they are coming to kill you at night." But I said, "Should a man like me flee? And could one such as I go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in." Then I perceived that surely God had not sent him, but he uttered his prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He was hired for this reason, that I might become frightened and act accordingly in sin, so that they might have an evil report in order that they could reproach me. Remember, O my God, Tobiah and Sanballat according to all these works of theirs, and also Noadiah the prophetess and the rest of the prophets who were trying to frighten me." So the wall was completed on the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. When all our enemies heard of it and all the nations surrounding us saw it, they lost their confidence, for they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Also in those days, many letters went from the nobles of Judah to Tobiah, and Tobiah's letters came to them. For many in Judah were bound by oath to him because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Arah, and his son Jehohanan had married the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah. Moreover, they were speaking about his good deeds in my presence and reported my words to him. Then Tobiah sent letters to frighten me. What a chapter. Word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it reveals the truth about you, truth about us. Thank you, Lord, that Lord, it gives us an honest appraisal, Lord. We, prone to fear and anxiety, Lord, that's not a strength of ours. That's part of the fall and part of our flesh. Thank you, God, for Christ that has conquered sin, death, and the grave and made peace on our behalf, God. And because of Christ, we don't have to fear you in a judgment way. We don't have to be anxious, Lord. We know that we're prone to fear you too little and fear man too much. And so, God, we pray your spirit would powerfully apply this word to our hearts today. Pray the lost would be convicted and saved. Pray the saved would be encouraged and edified and convicted and challenged, and that your church would be built up to be the people you would have her to be, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. How to press on for Christ when battling anxiety and fear. The Christian life is glorious, and but I want you to think about this. Is not, you think about your experience in a minute, but certainly we've seen Nehemiah, and our experience resonates with this truth. Nehemiah has been called. He's made a great sacrifice, by the way. He's stepped down from a significant position there at the palace as, sort of being on the cabinet right there working as the chief cupbearer to the king, and left Susa, and he's there in Jerusalem. He's doing the work God's called him to, but part of us would say, if you were looking at it from a human perspective, you would say, if Nehemiah is so sure that God called him to do this, why is he getting so much resistance? Because don't we know that if you're in the center of the Lord's will, it's just peace, tranquil, and smooth seas. Remember that? Now, by the way, that's what people will tell you. People that tell you that, my dad used to have a word, it's not used as much. What is it? Ignoramus. You know, he called me that sometime. It didn't bless my heart. Maybe that's what they're being. But let me tell you, the Christian life is flying into a headwind. Now, there will be moments of tailwinds. We'll try to make the tailwinds normative, and then heretics will write books saying the Christian life is all about tailwinds and how to live your best life now, and people want to hear that, and so they'll go fill up coliseums and flock to that. But then we come back to life on Monday, and we say, well, something's wrong with me because I haven't got it all figured out. I love Nehemiah. Nehemiah, he's in the center of the Lord's will, but every time you turn around, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, he's just got conflict enemies on every side. And so this challenges to the Lord's work. Why is he such a target? Because he's trying to advance God's work in the world. And so that gets resistance. And so it makes sense. And so the bottom line, then and now, the enemy will work to hinder the Lord's work. And as mentioned, anxiety and fear can paralyze us in our Christian life. So let's jump into this. How are we to press on for Christ while, now that's intentional, that sermon title, more thought than you might think went into that. How to press on for Christ while battling anxiety and fear. How to press on, listen, while. That means we stay where? It's not like, okay, God, I'm going to go out today. If you will forever deliver me from fear and anxiety, I'm ready to serve you. I'm confident that's not how it works. We who have been redeemed in Christ are called, commanded, empowered, sent to advance the gospel while we're dealing with fear and anxiety. That's what Nehemiah is going to show us, and we'll see if this bears up in the text. Number one, don't be surprised when anxiety and fear jump on us. Don't be surprised when anxiety and fear jump on us. So look at verse 1, Nehemiah 6. Now, when it was reported, so God's enemies, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, Arab, rest of the enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall. So God's work, now remember, the wall being torn down had led to God's glory being besmirched, his name being brought low, his reputation being brought low. And so God has decided he's going to do something about his name and his glory and his people. He's going to build the wall back. Well, so God's glory starts getting raised up. His wall starts getting raised up. How do you think God's enemies respond to that? Well, it says right here in the text. It was reported, so Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, they tried all these things to stop it, the Arabs, the rest of the enemies. Here, you know, they read on the Jerusalem Times, Nehemiah rebuilds a wall. And look at this. No breach remained in it, although at that time, I love this, he's a good project manager. He goes, by the way, there's a punch list. I got to go back and set the doors up in the gates. Look at verse 2. Then Sanballat and Geshem send a message to me saying, now, by the way, look at how nice this sounds. Come, let us meet together at Chephirim in the plain of Ono. Chephirim in the plain of Ono is 27 miles, I think, northwest of Jerusalem towards Samaria. So come on into our territory. Let's meet. Let us meet together. Now, here's what the text says, but they were planning to harm me. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work. I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? Now look, they are persistent. They sent messages to me 4 times in this manner, and I answered them in the same way. So I would say the first thing about how we press on for Christ while battling anxiety and fear is almost expect it. Don't be surprised when anxiety and fear jump on us. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 56. Listen to this. This just gives great courage because some of you guys are sitting out there going, I'm glad he's standing there talking about being fearful because I'm a man. I'm not fearful. And here's what I'm going to say. You're not telling the truth. You are fearful. Psalmist says, listen, Psalm 56, I love this. When I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. That humbles us. I mean, we don't need to go home. There's a side of me, and it's wrong thinking. You'll be like, hey, Stephanie, Maggie, Brandon, Luke, I just want y'all to know, I'm a man of courage. I'm not fearful. Sometimes my knees knock. Sometimes I'm really afraid, and sometimes I'm highly anxious. I'm a weak dude that really needs a strong Jesus. That's what you need to know. And I'm going to press on by God's grace with fear and anxiety all my days. Nehemiah, he's one of the strongest men I've ever read about. And let me tell you, they're trying to kill him for doing the Lord's work. It's a hit. Why would we try to get you 27 miles out of Jerusalem to Chephirim? Surely there's a nice resort there. Dude, there's a hitman going to take your head off if you go there. Don't be surprised when anxiety and fear jump on us. As Christians, we often think we're immune from attack. And so we'll give counsel like this. We'll be like, hey, man, if you're fearful, anxious, and maybe the Lord is not calling you to that. Here's what I want to challenge you. If you're really fearful and anxious and God just keeps putting that on your heart, maybe that's exactly what God's calling you to. I have moments when you think like, me serve as a pastor, y'all been drinking something. Like, God has a great sense of humor, but God worked in my heart to give me a desire. And can I tell you, there's aspects of standing up to do what I do now that are like prompt IBS-like symptoms every week, right? Stomach in knots. It's like, well, surely you aren't called to do it. No, I think that's part of being called. Nehemiah's like, they're trying to kill me. They're trying to frighten us. So press on. But first of all, don't be surprised when anxiety and fear jump on. A second, this is key, battle with the truth. Battle with truth. Look at verse 5. This is profound. Now, they've come at him four times. Look at verse 5. It escalates. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me in the same manner a fifth time. Now, look at this, with an open letter in his hand. The Bible's amazing. You know what an open letter is? It's not one that's sealed, it's private. Everybody on the way is privy to what it says. And so here's what the letter's going to say. Well, I'll show you. The letter's going to say, you're trying to take out the king. You're trying to set yourself up as king. You're a rebel. We got to deal with you. So, man, this it's like an escalating thing. The fifth time, look at this open letter. Look at verse 6. So here's what it says out and open for everybody to read. In it was written. So here's what Sanballat says. Here's the report. It's reported among the nations. And Gashmu says, here's what's going on here. You and the Jews are planning to rebel, and that's why you're rebuilding the wall. And guess what, Nehemiah? You're going to set yourself up as king. Look at that. You are to be their king according to these reports. And guess what else you've done, Nehemiah? Verse 7, you've also appointed prophets to go around Jerusalem concerning you, saying, hey, there's a king in Judah. Let me tell you something. Nehemiah is not the king, but there is a king that's coming to Judah. His name is Jesus. Right? God's preparing the way. We're just working upstream from Jesus' coming. I love this, but look at the charge. You are leading a rebellion. And how do you think Artaxerxes is going to feel about that? You wouldn't come out and play our game. It's amazing how it escalates. And now look at the end of verse 7. It will be reported to the king according to these reports. Nehemiah, we just have to tell the king what you're up to. So come now, let us take counsel together. Don't you want to meet with us now? Look at verse 8. Then I sent a message to him saying, such things as you are saying have not been done. This is how I want to respond to people that are crazy sometimes, but you are inventing them in your own mind. I love that Nehemiah gave him a little backhand there, didn't he? That's a lie. You're inventing this in your own mind. But what is really underneath it? For all of them were trying to frighten us, thinking they will become discouraged with the work, and it will not be done. If you take out the Lord's workers, what happens to the Lord's work? Do you see the connection? Why are we going to hit Nehemiah so hard? Because if we can get Nehemiah, we paralyze what's going on. And it's just profound. So this false charge that Nehemiah's trying to be king, and Nehemiah's got his very life being threatened with these charges, which are untrue and baseless. So we're to battle. How do we press on for Christ while battling anxiety and fear? We battle with the Bible in our hand, with the truth. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever's true. Where do we camp out? It's not true that Nehemiah is trying to overthrow the government. It's not true that he set himself up to be king. It's not true he sent these prophets to bear witness out, and he's standing on the truth. Finally, brethren, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's of good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, look, dwell, think, put your mind on, dwell on these things. The things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Look at this. And then, I would say, and the God of peace will be with you. Isn't that beautiful? So we press on for Christ right in the midst of maybe being consumed by anxiety and fear by standing on the truth of Scripture. Third principle, we call out to God in prayer. We call out to God in prayer. Before we look at this in chapter 6, turn to Nehemiah 1. Really, really cool. You just see it like every chapter, except for he gives a sort of, I'll tell you a little bit about chapter 3 in just a minute that our brother preached a while back, but it's the only place he's not praying. Look at Nehemiah 1. Look at verse 4. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I said, I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven. And by the way, just keep reading of his prayer that he pours out. And he pours it out day and night for months. Chapter 1, you see Nehemiah praying. Look at chapter 2. Look at verse 4. Remember this scene? It's the flare prayer. Nehemiah has been praying that God would get him to the place God was calling him to. And now the king looks at Nehemiah one morning with the wine in his hand and says, what do you need, Nehemiah? More or less. Look at this. Chapter 2, verse 4. Then the king said to me, what would you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. You go, hey, we see Nehemiah praying day and night in chapter 1. We see him praying in the moment in chapter 2. Chapter 3, I like to say, is sort of the OSHA. OSHA shows up and says, I need to know who all is working on the wall and what they're doing. He doesn't have a chance to pray there. All right, so turn to chapter 4. Chapter 4, Nehemiah 4. Look down at verse 4. Remember, the enemies of God are closing in. Remember Tobiah, the smart mouth, even what they're building, if a fox should jump on it, he would break their stone wall down. What did Nehemiah do? Look at verse 4. Hear, O our God, how we are despised. He falls before the Lord. Return their reproach on them, on their own heads, and give them up for plunder in the land of captivity. Look at verse 9 of chapter 4. Getting challenged. God's work getting challenged. What are they? But we prayed to our God, and we set a guard. Isn't that beautiful? Turn to chapter 5. Look at verse 19. Remember, there's been this conflict within. Nehemiah, thankfully, is above reproach. And at the end of that, he humbly says, remember me, O my God, for good, according to all that I've done for this people. So all the way up till we see Nehemiah, when the work is to be advanced, it must be advanced by the greater work of prayer. So call out to God in prayer. Look at Nehemiah 6, verse 9, our chapter. For all of them were trying to frighten us, thinking they will become discouraged with the work and it will not be done. But look what Nehemiah does. How do you deal with that fright, that fear, that anxiety? But now, O God, strengthen my hands. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? Hey, they're trying to kill me, God. I can't get ahead. We got enemies out there. We got people fighting within. And we got people like trying to lay traps for me. What am I going to do? Well, look what. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. Drop down to verse 14 of chapter 6. Remember, O my God, Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these works of theirs, and also Noadiah the prophetess and the rest of the prophets who were trying to frighten me. So the key to victory is desperate, persevering prayer. And Nehemiah models that for us. And so how do we press on for Christ while battling anxiety and fear? We call out to God in prayer. And by the way, we just read in Philippians 4:4, isn't that beautiful? The Lord is what? Near. He's near. Even when, listen to this, here's the truth. Even when he doesn't feel near, even when he doesn't feel present, the truth says he is near. Man, ain't that a blessing to our heart? Well, and we would say, I often don't feel him. I'd say amen to that. But here's, I'm going to push back on that. What difference does, I'm trying to get my grammar right, how we feel make? Feelings can be liars. Emotions can be liars. You can talk, I think of in biblical counseling, you know, I don't feel like I love him anymore. What does feelings have to do with anything? Well, you made a vow before God and these people. Your feelings will come around. We can feel all kinds of things. Put me in traffic and let somebody cut in front of me. You'd be like, he's not a holy man. Well, I am because of Jesus, but I'm working to be holy. But in those moments, I don't feel. Do you see this? We got a battle. And so this is a battle sermon, how to press on for Christ while battling anxiety and fear. And you call out to God in prayer. He is near. Say, God, I right now feel like I'm going to throw up on my shoes. I feel like I could faint. I don't think I can speak a word. I can't do this, God. Will you help me? Been there. Prostrate. On the right, that's how we do the work. And man, and Nehemiah, we don't feel that going, we're weirdo. We're going like, hey, we're weak. Nehemiah was weak, and look how strong he was in Christ. Call out to God in prayer. Fourth, preaching fast. Humbly stand firm when everything around us seems to be falling apart. Humbly stand firm when everything around us seems to be falling apart. I love this. So God is greater than our fears. So look at what comes next. It gets worse. Look at verse 10. When I entered the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, son of Mehetabel, who was confined at home, he said, now here's what he said. I'm going to show you. I'll give you modern day language. He said, Nehemiah, let me help you out. There's a bounty. I'm going to take care of you. Me and you'll go to the temple. We'll go to the temple. That's what we'll do. So let me just show you in the text. It just doesn't let up. Verse 10. When I entered the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, son of Mehetabel, who was confined at home. We don't know why he was at home. He said, let us meet together in the house of God. Within the temple, let us close the doors of the temple. Nehemiah, they're coming to kill you. And they're coming to kill you at night. Some translations, they're coming to kill you tonight. Now, by the way, it would have been a egregiously sinful thing for Nehemiah to go into the temple. He's not a priest. So here's the temptation. You want to get the pressure off? Just cut this corner. If you see it, right. So, hey, doesn't that bless your heart? You got this religious council that's telling you, I want to save your life, and they're coming to kill you, and they're going to kill you tonight. And to save your life, you just need to commit this sin. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? You feel the pressure there. So look at his response, verse 11. I love this, but I said, should a man like me flee? And I love that. I'm going to lead God's people, and I'm going to run and hide in the temple. Here's what we say. Let's die on the battlefield with fear and anxiety before we run, right? Can we agree with that? God, give us grace to die on the battlefield, consumed with anxiety and fear before we flee. Should a man like me flee? And could one such as I go into the temple to save his life? That's a sinful thing. I will not go in. Now look at this. Keep calling out to God in prayer. Then I perceived that surely God had not sent him, but he uttered his prophecy. He's a false prophet. He's a prophet for hire. He ordered his prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. And so here's what went down there. Shemaiah, dude, here's some money. We need you to do us a favor. He's like, hey, hear this. In Nehemiah's day, they were prophets for hire. You know what? They're prophets for hire in our day. Beware the counsel you get. And so the enemies of God found this prophet for hire. And you talk about Nehemiah having an opportunity for runaway feelings and anxiety. They're coming to kill you tonight. And the prophet says, here's the path of rescue. That's confusing, isn't it? So humbly stand firm when everything around us seems to be falling apart. And so I love this. Verse 12, I perceive that surely God had not sent him. Verse 13, he was hired for this reason, that I might become frightened and act accordingly in sin so that they might have an evil report in order that they could reproach me. They were working for my downfall. And so part of the victory is like just stand. I think of Ephesians 6. Stand. Humbly stand firm when everything around us seems to be falling apart. Fifth and finally, depend on God's power, not our own. There's so much here. Depend on God's power, not our own. Look at verse 14. He calls out, it's a prayer again. Remember, oh my God, Tobiah and Sanballat according to these works. So I love that. God's enemies might punch us, but you know what we do? We call out to God on their behalf that he'll deal with them. Remember, oh my God, Tobiah, Sanballat according to these works of theirs, and also Noadiah the prophetess, the rest of the prophets who were trying to frighten me. If they can trip up the project manager, if they can trip up God's leader, the project will come to a screeching halt. And so this principle depends on God's power, not our own. Well, let's keep going. Look at verse 15. Now, this would be like, if we were, the word that comes to mind, if we were a little more Pentecostal, if we were a little more enthusiastic, we'd get excited. Y'all listen to this, I'd be like, so the wall was completed on the 25th of the month, Elul, in 52 days. And all God's people said, wow, amen. 52 days. So here's what I would say. God said he was going to do it. Verse 15 says what God says he's going to do, he what? Does. I love that. You got to read it in light of that. You got to read in light of what God's doing. It's like resistance, resistance, resistance. What does it tell you, church, that we get there and it said, guess what? The wall was done. You know what I've thought about? I don't mean to pick on them, but I'm thinking about all that work we're doing on the circle, like over there at Chick-fil-A. Y'all think Nehemiah, we got a Nehemiah in the midst? We've been working on that since like I was in middle school, it seems like. You know, and now like Stephanie would be like, we need to go over to Eagle Eye. I'm thinking like, how do you get there? I don't even know how to do that. We need a helicopter. But 52 days. And they didn't have all the equipment. You know? I don't think tax dollars were funding all that, right? Anyway, 52 days. And you look at that and you go like, that's an outrageous thing. What's the explanation for that wall being built with all the enemies, north, south, east, and west, wanting to kill God's people and stop God's work? What's the answer? What's the answer when they're divided from within, saying, my children are good as your children. My children hadn't got bread, and you've taken our farm so we could pay the taxes. And God overcomes that. And then right at Nehemiah, the leader, shooting at him with fear and anxiety, paralyzed. Nehemiah, the prophet, the man of God, like, Nehemiah, come on in for some counsel. Let me help you out, Nehemiah. They're coming to kill you, but I've got a solution for you. I'm going to go hide, me and you're going to go hide in the temple. Nehemiah's like, I think it's sinful for me to be in the temple. And how will it look to God's name if God's man is running, fleeing? I don't think I'm going to do that. Just standing firm. Do you feel the tension in that? And you look back over that, and we could just run past that. So, yeah, it was completed in 52 days. Let me tell you, that shows God's power, God's glory, God's faithfulness, that God's work can't be hindered. It can't be stopped, no matter what God's enemies. They will always be on every side, and his work will always advance. Boy, that's a cure for anxiety and fear, isn't it? It's beautiful. The wall was completed on the 25th of the month Elul in 52 days. Now look at this. Remember, put your finger there at verse 16. God decided to have the wall rebuilt because the wall being torn down. Remember, how did that make God look to the nations? Well, Israel's God over there in Jerusalem, look at those walls. Made it look really, really small, besmirched his name. Look at verse 16. When all our enemies heard of it and all the nations surrounding us saw it, I love that they lost their confidence. Ron Dunn said, you don't want to box with God. He's got the reach on you, right? He's got a long reach. They lost their confidence. Look at this, for they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. How did they build that wall? Their God did it. Yahweh did it. And that now we're to the other end of the story. Now God's being glorified, being worshiped. You can't stop Israel's God. He's amazing. He's powerful. What all, Sanballat, Tobiah, come over here. What, Geshem, what all have y'all tried to do? We tried to kill him. We tried to send army in there. Man, we hired a prophet. He couldn't even get the job done. And I love that. They lost their confidence, verse 16. Why did they lose their confidence? Because greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. They lost their confidence, for they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Now, I want to show you, though, it still doesn't let up. Look at verse 17. Tobiah has married, I think, a Jewish girl, and he's got insiders in Judah who are loyal to him that he's corresponding with. Listen, Nehemiah's got a bunch of leaders in Judah who are disloyal to him and loyal to Tobiah. It just keeps coming. Look at verse 17. Also in those days, many letters went from the nobles of Judah to Tobiah. Why are these leaders of Judah writing letters to Tobiah? And Tobiah's letters came to them. For many in Judah were bound by oath to him because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son Jehohanan had married the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah. Moreover, they were speaking about his good deeds. You know that Tobiah, what a great guy. I love Tobiah. If we could have a leader in Jerusalem like Tobiah, you know, do you see this? They were speaking about his good deeds in my presence and reported my words to him. Then Tobiah sent letters to frighten me. Stephanie, if you have a Kleenex, I would really, really appreciate that. Thank you very much. A whole box, how about that? Pardon me, I don't know a good way to do that when you're preaching. You know, I can't like say, let's take a 30-minute break. You ought to leave. 30-second, I might could keep you. So, thank you. But I love verse, depend on God's power, not our own. So, if I'm really honest when I'm being anxious and fearful, I'm trying to carry weight that I'm not called, equipped, or powerful enough to carry. Really? And I'm trying to, I don't want to fail God. I don't want to fail y'all. I'll get wrapped up in that. And it's like, let me tell you something. Tobiah's working on the inside. He's working on the outside. God's people are prone to get opposite each other. We're prone to have all kind of overwhelming fear, runaway anxiety within. And Nehemiah belongs to God. And since he belongs to God, God's going to get his work done so his name will be glorified. And so God's enemies, they appear to us stronger than they are. And when the pressure's on, I'm convinced our God appears to us weaker than he is. Because he's really, really strong. And our enemies are really, really weak. And I love that. I sort of love it, but I hate it. But it's the way life works. And you're like, well, the wall was built in 52 days. And then we still got people in Judah going, you know, Tobiah, I like you better than Nehemiah. And I sort of wish that, you know, if you could come be our... Really? Depend on God's power, not our own. Boy, what we have the victory. So the gospel in Nehemiah 6. Couple application points. Keep in mind, it's going to be a headwind. So it's going to be a struggle this side of heaven. First, recognize that the enemy is at work and often attacks most fiercely when we are engaged in the Lord's work. So the enemy's at work. God's at work. The enemy's at work. But often attacks seem to come most fiercely, when we're in the game, when we're engaged in the Lord's work. Second, battle fear and anxiety with the sword of the Spirit, the Bible. I'm telling you, bring God's word to bear. Battle with the sword of the Spirit. Third, filter our thoughts and feelings through Scripture. So we take the things. I love that. It's a prescription that I prescribe for myself frequently, and I'll prescribe for you. Whatever is true, whatever's pure, whatever's excellent. Is it true, pure, or excellent? For Nehemiah, he didn't have all the Bible, by the way. For Nehemiah to go sin and do something God has told him not to do and run and hide in the temple to get out from under the threat. That's not true, wise, that's not pure, excellent, worthy of praise. You see how that works? It's practical. So I think we've thought Christian life. No, I think here's Christian life. Battling, trusting Christ and battling. Fourth, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? All my and your fear and anxiety, Jesus has conquered on the cross. And by the way, let's have a culture of honesty too. Have a culture of, instead of going like, I just want y'all to know I got it all figured out. I ain't afraid of nothing. I know that's bad grammar, but that's how we'll come around. I've never been anxious a day of my life. Let me just, hey, if this like diminishes me in your sight, I'm oftentimes fearful and I'm oftentimes anxious, and I'm not building a monument or statue to that, but I'm going to battle from Christ's victory for victory. Let's just be honest. Trust Lord Jesus Christ. Next, rest. Rest assured that God will bring the victory for us in Christ. Let me tell you how we're to read Nehemiah. We've been lulled, we've been dumbed down, going like, yeah, you know. People say like, yeah, you know, good luck in your Bible reading. You're over there in that Old Testament. Really? Open up Nehemiah and you open Nehemiah and say, God decides he's going to do something. When his people have been really, really sinful. And he decides he's going to do something, and guess what? When he decides he's going to do it, the enemy takes exception to that. Let's see if God was able to pull it off. Let's see if he was able to take care of the servants he called to do it. Let's see if he was able to get his work done. Is God stronger or Sanballat stronger? Are the Arabs stronger or is Yahweh stronger? Can God's work, and so bring that over, and here's what I would say. Because part of me is like, hey, here we are, you know, Christmas is getting close, and I'm not preaching Luke 2 and Matthew 1. Praise the Lord for Luke 2 and praise the Lord. But praise the Lord for Nehemiah 6. Right? Because since Jesus has come and done, and by the way, Nehemiah 6 is about Jesus too. This is different. But since Jesus has come, all my fear and anxiety, it was nailed to the cross. I have the victory. I've been redeemed. That they're coming up to do a song. They're not coming to do any harm. That's good. And we're about to sing the communion song. So rest assured that God will bring the victory for us in Christ. And so y'all come on up, Stephen and Christian. So before we have communion, we've got Stephen's going to lead us in the communion song. So I want you to stay seated. And it fits so, so very well with both the passage we have studied and also with the ordinance of the supper and the victory that we have in Christ. And the same victory that Nehemiah had, and by the way, in some ways, Nehemiah would have longed to look in on what we have and know. So I'm going to sit down and we're going to sing, and then I'll come back up and we'll pray and have the ordinance. Brother Stephen.